Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Amen. How many of you enjoyed that worship today? I'm telling you, that was amazing. Oh, praise God for that. Well, we have an exciting word for you today. And Pam has told me several times, three or four times, that tomorrow night is going to be outstanding. I believe it. And I've always been of the opinion that when someone says I'm excited about the things of God, or that's the people you want to share the things of God. So the scripture that's kind of been on my heart this week is, for the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Just to be aware that God is all around us. The kingdom of God is all around us. Last Sunday night, Sister Debbie had shared out of Matthew a scripture. You know how you get a song going through your head all week, which I hope those songs. Well, I had this scripture going through my head because she preached on it. It is in Matthew 6. What Jesus said, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the streets and in the synagogues. I tell you the truth, they have the reward they will get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. The reason I love that scripture so much is that's an invitation. That is God saying, and Jesus saying to us, that prayer is private between. I love that. There's an intimacy there, that there's no show. You're not putting on a show. You're not, oh, God in heaven. You're saying, God, it's me. We talk. We discuss. And just the reality of the kingdom is my prayer for myself and for the kingdom. You know, while I was praying before service, and I want to tell you what I was praying about and what I heard from God. I was praying about nothing and I heard nothing. When you're with a friend, you don't have to talk all the time. You ever been with a friend where you just sit there in each other's company and you just enjoy it? So while I was praying, I was just, Frida, I had the thought again. I know you don't know it. You think you're singing to this congregation. And I felt like I just told God, let's just enjoy Frida singing. And I feel like all of heaven in the throne room just shut up. Everyone got quiet. And Frida, I believe that for the last 5 minutes, heaven's just sitting there listening to our worship, listening. What a privilege that we have, and what an enjoyable time I had, not saying or just being in the presence of God. He is amazing. He's wonderful.
Amen. I second that, and I can certainly say that there is an excitement as this new year begins, and there should be an excitement in the Lord. We are glad that you are here today. We're glad that you're here, Barb. Barb just came through COVID, and she's doing amazing back there, and we're so glad that she's here today. Christ is greater than COVID. We know that. One of the words that God gave me for this year, by the way, if you want a handout, this is your guidelines. Many people have asked me, how do I live for God and how do I start my new life this year? Well, this is 10 steps that you can do, practical steps, but I titled it something, a word from God. God gave me. It's living my best blessed life. You know, I hear people say all the time, they'll tell me, I'm living my best life. I'm living my best life. There was something that bothered me about that and troubled me about that. It's not good enough to live my best life, because my best life includes living on a cruise in the Bahamas, floating around. That's my best life. I need to want to desire a blessed life. And there's a huge difference. My best blessed life. I need the blessing of the Lord. So take a handout out there, and that'll give you a running start. Tomorrow night, I'm going to be sharing a little more about that. But the title of our message this morning is And by the way, I'm so glad you came, because I know that this is the way to start your year, because how you start something is generally how it's going to end. But the title of our message this morning is kind of strange. It's "I Didn't See That Coming." How many of you have ever just been going along on your day and you got bad news, basically? Somebody called, maybe you got a text or something, and it just wasn't good, but you never anticipated that. You didn't see trouble coming, but the trouble did not take God by surprise at all. He knew that was going to happen. But how do we do that? I'll give you a perfect example of it. How many of you knew, which is the whole world basically knows, that only on the second day of January, Damar Hamlin was out on that football field, and he took a hit to the chest, and he collapsed on that field, and a whole nation dropped to its knees. Hallelujah. Don't tell me revival is not possible in our land. It is possible. You've seen them players on their knees, and our whole nation knows the name Damar Hamlin and is praying for him. But let me tell you something about that. It was 2 days into the new year. He did not see that coming, and neither did you and I until we seen it, did we? But God is still on the throne, isn't he? Because he's up and going and talking now, and he's off the respirator and all of that junk. So God is still on the throne. But here's what the Bible says, and we're going to jump really right into this. Come tomorrow for Haggai and prophetic word. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. It does not say if you walk through the fire. Why doesn't it say if by chance you might, you could? It says, Frida said it, we all will. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. When the flame will not even kindle upon you, you won't get, that means nipped by the flame at all. It won't touch you. When you go through the waters, the flood, you're not going to drown. You're not going to gasp for air. You're not going to drown. You know what I like when I hear that verse, Ken? You won't drown. I think, I'm going to swim through the flood. I'm just going to swim. I'm going to back float. My mom in the pool, she can back float just for hours. I'm going to back float through when the devil tries to send me a flood, I'm going to swim through it. But we want to talk about how God has great plans for us, and we need God this year, because like I said last week, the Bible says through Joshua, we're about to cross over the Jordan. Now we're about to cross over, we did, into a new year. But you've never been this way before, have you? And so if I'm in a foreign country and I've never been there, I mean, Maribel knows how to navigate Mexico. I don't. If I go there, I'm going to need a guide, right? I'm going to need an expert, somebody who knows what they're doing, like Maribel, or someone who's been there. We've never been here. So guess who we need? The Holy Spirit. He's already there. He's an expert guide. And God has good plans for us, but I don't think I need to remind you that there's someone out there and he's roaming around and his plans are to kill you. They're to destroy you. They're to take you out. But I'm going to go with God's plans this year, because he'll bless, when I go through the fire, I won't be burned. But I feel like I have a strong word in my spirit from the Holy Spirit, and this is really to the church. All of heaven and all of hell are awaiting your decision, what you're going to do with this new year. Will I serve the Lord God? Will I choose the Lord God? And I can tell you something else. All of heaven and all of hell are waiting your decision, whether you're going to serve God this year or whether you're going to give it all up. But I want to tell you something. The fact that you're here again this week in this service to hear the word of the Lord on the second Sunday in January, all of hell is nervous. You have just made all of hell nervous because you showed up today. And that's a step of faith for you, that you got up and you chose to come here. That makes the devil nervous because you are a threat. But I do have to tell you, we need to be prepared for trouble. Remember when I told you Damar Hamlin fell onto the field on the second day of January? He literally collapsed on that field and a whole nation prayed. But here's the thing. We have to also be prepared. We can't just pray, oh, God, we're going to hope for the best. We have to be prepared. If you fail to prepare, you've prepared to fail. And so they were prepared for what might happen. Did you know that they were prepared on the field that day? How long did it take someone to get over there? Not long at all. Seconds, because God wants us to stay prepared. So, and here's one more thing about unexpected trouble, and I'm going to turn this to Ken. I know that we have to expect the unexpected, and trouble comes out of nowhere, just like it did for Damar Hamlin. But how often when trouble comes, we don't praise God for the good things that happen to us like we should. I pray we will. But we're quick to blame God, aren't we, when things go wrong? Where were you, God? Why did you let this happen? And believe me, that's blaming God. That would be like Tony punches Ken. Ken turns to me and go, "I'm so mad at you." And I go, "Why? You let Tony punch me." I'm like, "I had no control over that. That's not me. Why are you angry with me?" That's what we do. Something happens in life. The devil does something. You get a little sick or something. You look at God and go, "Why?" No, he didn't do that. You got to know that God doesn't cause trouble. God is the solution to our trouble. Amen.
So the title's kind of intriguing. I didn't see that coming, because I think a lot of us have experienced that in our life. But I would also say that I would admit that many things that I've gotten hit with, I should have seen coming. And I don't know why we're so dumb, but I've had the Holy Spirit clearly speak to me, "Don't say that, don't bring that up." And then after I said it or brought it up, I'm like, "But I knew I shouldn't have." I was thinking to myself, "Take the high road." You know, before it even happened, I said, "Take the high road and don't say that." And then something inside me just, "I'm going to say it." Why? You know, but the leading of the Holy Spirit, one of the things I have definitely learned is it's never a loud voice. If you can so miss the Holy Spirit because it's a soft, gentle voice that you have to tune into. And so, yes, there's times when we get hit and we never saw it. But come on, you're the passenger in a car and the driver is swerving all over the place and you're thinking they should be on the brake, but instead they're, you know, tuning the radio. And you're like, they're not paying attention to what's happening all around them. People that get it, that don't get in a lot of accidents, are probably driving real defensively. You know, in other words, they're thinking about what if that car moves over or what if that car slams. You've got to think defensively, and you've got to be aware of your circumstances. That's where spirituality comes in. You've got to be able to hear the Holy Spirit say, "Don't go down that road." Come on, how many of you have testimonies where the Holy Spirit said, "Don't go there, don't do that," and you listened? I'm not even going to ask if you got testimonies where the Holy Spirit said, "Don't go there," and you just broke the door down. That's on you, right? That's on you. I would also say this about Satan's influence in your life. He can only be in your life by your permission. Now, that puts it all on us, but let's think about that. He can only be in your life by permission. You really have been set free from his influence. You've been set free from his lies. You've been set free from addictions. You are free to worship God. That's what you're free to do. You say, "But I'm not, I'm still in addictions." But that's on you too, because we're set free. So here's the thing about Satan, and we've talked about this before. Jesus paralyzed him. He can't punch you in the face. The only thing that works on him is his mouth. He is in a wheelchair, and the only way he can do anything is to get you to believe his lies. Now, here's the thing about a trespasser. They don't belong. A trespasser means no legal right. Isn't that right? Right? If you're going to kick someone out of your house, that means they have no legal right to be there. So if Satan has no legal right to be there, but you know what? Don't kick him out, because maybe this is just a strategy. Maybe he'll get tired and leave your house. Freda says no. So if I hope this doesn't happen, but if tonight, as you're watching TV in your house, you see a rattlesnake watching the same TV, you have a choice to make. And what are you going to do? Are you going to walk around the Everett kids? Be careful. Walk around the rattlesnake. No, you have authority to kick out the snake. But here's the thing, though. He doesn't leave on his own. Sometimes you have to, and in law, it's called a forcible entry and detainer. When you kick someone out, it's a forcible. You have to force them by the law, by legality. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. What I'm saying that most of our problems is ourself. Come on, most of my problems has been myself. But that doesn't mean all of them are. Satan is wicked and he is cruel and he will bring things into your life that are just not fair. But even though you didn't see it coming, the shepherd saw it coming, and God's already figured out a way out. God has figured out a way to turn that test into a testimony. He has figured out to turn that dungeon into a palace. That's what he did with Joseph. Come on. Joseph didn't see it coming. He's in a dungeon, but God says, I'll put you in the palace. You have to trust God's plans. So this year's declarations, which Pam's got all kinds of the handout. I recommend you get the handout, which we'll cover. But here's some declarations for living a successful life. I will put God first. Amen. Get yourself off the throne. Put God on the throne. I will read God's word daily. Thank you, Tony Pacina, for always telling us that. And we all need to listen to that. Fresh manna, not yesterday's manna. I will pray daily. Oh, I got to pray every day. It's such a chore. If you're looking at it as a chore, you're doing it wrong. Prayer isn't a chore. It's like being in the swimming pool. It's refreshing. It's enjoyable. To be in the presence of God is beautiful and wonderful, so make sure you're doing it right. As Smith Wigglesworth said, they said, well, you're such a man of God. How many hours a day do you pray? Expecting that he would say, well, I do 6 hours a day. He said, I hardly ever pray more than half an hour at a time. He said, but I hardly ever go more than half an hour without praying. I like that answer. It wasn't a religious exercise. He was just constantly connected to God. So we should, don't think of it as a religious exercise. Just talk to God. He's your friend. I will tithe and give with a joyful heart. So being a giver is not just in the church. It's everywhere you go, you're a giver. We declare that you are generous to the world. I will forgive those who trespass against me. I will speak life-giving words. Amen. Watching my tongue. I don't want, praise God, I can control my tongue. Self-control is what? Just controlling yourself. So watch what you say. I will not forsake God's house. Thank God for this place. Amen. It's a lighthouse, and it is a place of safety. And I will not give up or slow down. You know, as I turn this over to Pam, whatever rules we come up with, whatever rules God comes up with, whatever strategies, whatever declarations that we make, all of it, if you say, I can't remember all the rules, all of it is summed up in one rule. Just love God with all your heart. You would automatically do everything else if you just loved God with all your heart. And so, you know what? If you love someone, you got to tell them that. Don't say they know it. I tell my wife I love her. I tell my daughter that I love her. And I tell God, I love you. Amen. Tell God. Don't be ashamed to tell God that you love him.
I didn't see it coming. That's going to be all of us at some time or another. You know, I sent a bunch of you, a ton of you this week, a video of a young man who was testifying that his wife, he had been married 30 days exactly when he had to pull his wife off life support. He didn't see that coming. He stood at an altar. They had a beautiful future before him, but he had to pull her off life support. And yet he praises God. And here's the thing, Job, he didn't see it coming, did he? He had no idea. God knew, Satan knew, but he didn't. And he did not do anything wrong. But I really think in preparing for trouble, you need to know this. The very best response to trouble is to prepare how you're going to deal with trouble. Here's my secret to forgiving people. You forgive people before they transgress you. That's my secret. Because if they hurt you, you're not going to be able to do it because you're going to be angry and upset and hurt. But if you've already made a decision in advance, if they should hurt me, Frida loves me. She's not going to hurt me. But I've made a decision in my heart. If the day comes that she does hurt me, inadvertently, even intentionally, I choose to forgive her and to look at all of the good things that she has done for me throughout her life. You make a decision. The same thing applies to trouble. Before you experience any trouble this year, here's what you have to do. You have to say, I'm going to do what Job did. Here's what Job did. He did three things. And by the way, this is taught wrong. This is taught wrong. The Bible says that Job tore his robe, he fell on his face, and he worshiped God. It appears that he fell on his face to worship God. He did not. The trouble was so, there were three things. He tore his robe, he fell on his face, he fell down. He crashed to the ground from the weight of the trouble, and then he worshiped. If we crash to the ground, if we have trouble so heavy that we just can't even stand up anymore, what will we do when we're on the ground? We will worship God. And here's the thing. When Job cried out to God, it did not change his present situation. His children did not come back to life. His wicked wife was there, but his children did not come back to life again. And nothing changed the situation, but it changed the future because, and that's why we need to speak godly words, positive words in the future right now at the beginning of the year. Because remember what I tell you, the first words that you speak that come out of this mouth in any crisis situation sets the tone and the momentum for what's going to come. Like if I'm in a bad situation, I just look at Ken. We're going to die. We're going to die. The plane's going down. You're going to crash the car. I mean, we're going to be so like, oh, my goodness, we crashed the car. It becomes a self. In other words, the first words out of your mouth that you speak are prophetic words. You're speaking words of power. Words have life. They have power. If you start saying, this is going to kill me. This is going to kill me. I can't take it. I won't make it through this. Then you won't make it. You just prophesied over yourself. You do it over your children. You do it over yourself. You've got to say words like, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to make it. And if nobody else beat this type of rare cancer, I'm going to beat it. I'm going to be a testimony. And those words have power. They are life-giving words. And then start backing it up with scripture. But here's the thing about Job. He had a regular prayer life. This was not the first time he worshiped. He didn't get to the ground and get hit by the enemy and then go, I'm going to learn how to worship now. Now's my chance. No. He worshiped every day. The Bible says he prayed for his children. Every day he made sacrifices to the Lord. He didn't have a random prayer life. He had a regular prayer life. He worshiped God daily. So it was very natural when he fell to the ground for him to worship God. That's not the time to learn. Like, what was that prayer? Our Father, he art somewhere up there. No, no. You pray now. You pray now, and then when something happens, it's going to come natural to you. And, you know, I know that trouble comes, and some is the devil, like in Job's case. But I'm going to give the devil only 10% credit for the trouble that he causes. He's just not that good. He's not that great. I just can't give him any more than maybe even not that much, 5%. But I'm going to give you and I a whole chunk of 95, 99% of the trouble. And people go around saying, you know the saying, the devil did it. The devil did not do it. The person in the mirror did it. It's that story, Ken. It's my old story that I've told before that my dad told me and my sister that there was a guy who was threatening. He was a mental patient. Do not open the door. Him and mom had went somewhere, who knows where, Bible study. They probably went to some fancy steakhouse and didn't tell us. But they probably had a Bible study. So something. They left and left Sandy and I at the house. Don't open the door. The mental patient comes to the door, and he's crying. And he's in the window. Oh, Pam, I just want to talk. I just want to talk to somebody. I'll talk to anybody. I just want to talk. I opened the door. The door hit me as he flung it and punched, and the police came, and I never will forget sitting on the couch and Dad going, "Who opened the door?" I'm like, "Oh, it wasn't." Yeah, like he didn't know or something. It's me. Of course I opened the door. Miss Duguid. But how many times, don't laugh at me. Do not laugh at me. How many times have you opened a wrong door? Okay, I said yes to that date. You just opened a wrong door. We can't do that. We got to stop. Ask the Holy Spirit to help us this year, not to open doors. Let God open doors for you. And so get prepared for a good year.
Yeah, I always remember the legal case of this young man. He was young. He was a teenager, 17, 18, something like that. And he was asleep at home in his bed when his friends knocked at the door and said, "Come on, we're going, we're going." He dragged himself into the car. 30 minutes later, they robbed a liquor store. He stayed in the car, had no idea what was going on, and someone died in the liquor store. He's in prison today for robbing that liquor store.
There you go.
And 30 minutes before, he was dreaming, and then someone knocked on the door and said, "What do you want to come? You can get in trouble quick, I guess." But thank God for redemption. Thank God there is nothing you have done. There is no doors you have opened. The fact that you are sitting here now means that you can be forgiven of anything that has happened to you, anything that you have done, anything that has been done to you. The blood of Jesus can wash it away. So when I joined the military, there was about 50 of us living in one dorm. So this is giant dorm room with 50 guys in it. And I don't think we needed a lot of security there because, people weren't breaking in those places. But they had us practice security because many of the people that would graduate their Air Force class would go on to guard nuclear secrets and be involved with top secret things. So I think they were having us practice while we were still in basic training. So here's what they would do. Anytime you were in the dorms, someone was on guard duty. You were assigned guard duty. And we were all in this dorm behind a locked door. But there was a window, so if someone came to the door, you could see their face. And we had a whole procedure, and they taught us this over and over. And here's the drill. There is a list of people on the door that they are authorized to come in. These 10 people can come in. But first, you have to get their ID through the window. You have to see it. And you have to verify it's them, and then you can open the door. You cannot open the door to anyone except to the people that's on the list. So every day, people would show up with one purpose and one purpose only, to get into that door without proper ID. And you'd say, "Well, that's easy. That's easy. You have the 10, you look." So here you are, you've been in the service 2 weeks, and some person with stripes all up and down their... Or maybe they're a captain, and they're like, "Open the door. There's Captain Jones." And you say, "Sir, may I see your access pass?" And he said, "I said open the door." And for some people, that's enough. By the way, as soon as you open the door, you're in trouble. The first thing out of his mouth is, "Why did you open the door?" And you know that's going to be the first thing out of their mouth. And so a lot of times what they would do is you'd say, "Let me see your ID." And they would flash it and take it away. And that was the trick, okay? They showed you something. It was Mickey Mouse's picture.
Yep. Yep. Not right.
And then we had, there was a female dorm with all females, and someone with a bunch of stripes showed up and said, "Open the door." And she said, "I can't." And he just screamed at her and said, "I'm this person, and I'm the commander, and, I'm in charge of you." And she opened the door. So he's screaming at her now, "Why did you open the door? You don't know the procedure." And she said, "Sir, the only reason I opened the door is because the door is locked. The lock is broken. Anybody can get in." And so she said, "Go out there and see." So he goes out there, and he tries the door, and it was locked. He said, it's locked." And she said, "Sir, may I see your access pass?" So she got him out of there. But that is exactly what is happening with Satan. He is coming to your life and saying, can I come in? Can you open the door? And absolutely not. Another thing, and I have shared this before, but it did make an impact on me. If you have a God dream and you're sure it's a God dream, but years ago, and I've never really been one for having nightmares at all, but I had what started out as a nightmare, and I felt like I was being in the nightmare. I was being chased by Satan or some evil person. And I was in the nightmare. I was genuinely afraid. And I was running away for my life. And as I guess this would be a lucid dream, because I was able to think in the dream. As I was running away from this, it's like I realized something. You are a child of God. You are a child of God. You're not supposed. And so I got a revelation as I was running away that I'm supposed to be chasing him. He's not supposed to. And so my attitude in the dream, I changed from being the prey to the predator. I just had fire in my eyes in that dream. And I stopped and I turned around and the person that was chasing me stopped. And then they turned around and then I started chasing that person. That is the place you are to give to the devil is his proper place. Give him the honor he deserves, the place he deserves, which is no place. Jesus had no respect for the devil. And you've heard me say this before. The devil wants to be the king because Jesus is the king. He wants to be Lord because Jesus is the Lord. So Jesus sarcastically said, let's call him the Lord of the flies. How's that? He's the Lord of dirty flies that live on dunghills. That's what he rules over is dung. I mean, that is an insult. Jesus was not I'm telling you don't hunker down and fear the enemy. You need to, every time you meet him, you need to punch him in the nose. And you say, how do I punch the devil in the nose? You have the name of Jesus. It belongs to you. You have the blood of Jesus. It belongs to you. And the word of God in your mouth has the same effect as the word of God in Jesus' mouth. Lillian Yeoman said that, and I'm still trying to wrap my head around it, that the word of God in my mouth has the same power, the same authority, because it's backed. It's like Pam's story as the policeman stands and holds his hand out against a 3-ton truck, and that truck stops. Not because that policeman was so physically strong, because he had authority behind the badge. And if he had to, he could call for backup, and so can you.
So let me ask you, if a policeman can hold his hands up and he can stop all kinds of traffic and all kinds of trucks, what will happen if you hold your hands up and praise God? What will that stop? That will stop demons and principalities and powers of darkness. That's the authority that we have in Christ. And I've shared this before, but I think not. It was on a Monday night. A lot of people do not understand this. I'm going to teach you just a real quick little tidbit. Satan, they feel, is equally evil as God is good. This is not true. He is so much less. His evil is so much less than the greatness that God is. God's greatness is far, far, far outshines and outweighs the evil of the enemy. They are not equal counterparts at all. He is under our feet. Ken said it the best. And here's another thing about Satan. He has no power to create. Only God can create. And you and I can create. Do you know what he does instead of create? He counterfeits. He counterfeits. The only reason there's a counterfeit dollar bill is because there's a real dollar bill. And so if there's a counterfeit which is named Satan, then that means there is a real, and his name is Elohim. He is Emmanuel, God with us, the Father God. And I know that sometimes unpleasant things happen in our life, but I want to tell you what Joseph said to his brothers when he finally met up with them. He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. But I'm going to give you the correct translation of that. You meant it for evil, but God used it for good. You meant what you did to me for evil, but God used it for good and for his glory. How many of you know the story, and I know a lot of you do, of Dave Reber, who caught the grenade and it burned 90% of his body and he survived it. He speaks all over the nation. He gives his testimony. The enemy meant it for evil, But God is using it for good. He speaks everywhere he goes. He's deformed and he speaks. But you know what? Those are scars that prove, he said, that God is real and who he says he is. Because although my body, he said, was over 90% burned, he said, still God kept me alive. I should not be alive today. And I should certainly be blind and all kinds of things. God, can you... I want to say it like this. God never caused it, but God can use it and he can redeem our pain. Do you know that God doesn't waste our tears? He bottles our tears, that he numbers. God, I used to think God ordered our steps. God orders our steps. God knows the numbers of our hair on our head, and he also bottles our tears. And here's the thing. Trouble will come our way. When trouble comes, God tells us how to respond. It's a test. It's either a test or it's a temptation. And the difference is one God does test us and one the enemy does temptation. But people are watching us, and all of heaven and hell are waiting on us too, and our friends, just like Job. But here's the thing. My grandmother, I can remember her saying this, "This too shall pass. This too shall pass." There is no house that has a cloud over it, that it stays over the same house forever. This storm will pass you. This test, if you will be faithful, it will pass. It will pass because you have God on your side. And whatever happens in your life, God can use it. He's going to redeem your trauma. And your test is going to become a testimony. Your trial is going to become a triumph. And your mess, my friend, the mess you got in is going to become a message of the goodness of God. And, you know, so many people, they do begin to doubt God. And this just occurred to me the other day. I think I shared it with Ken or Sandra or somebody who knows who. We live on this blue planet that is a round planet. It's not flat, it's round. And it hangs, the sun hangs in the sky, and it doesn't fall down. And the moon hangs in the sky, and the stars, and they don't fall down unless they're a falling star. We live on this galaxy, on this planet, and the water doesn't run off the planet, and you don't fall off the planet either. Why? Gravity, the laws of God, the power of God. But it's more than that. The Holy Spirit said, the love of God. The love of God is what keeps it all in place. The love of God is what makes it all function together. What was it you said about if the sun was just a little bit closer to the earth, we would burn up? We would all just burn up. It's not going to happen because God is still in control. The enemy is not in control. God is in control. And here's what Psalm 63, 7, and 8 says. I love this. I absolutely love this. I wish you could take this home and just meditate this. Because you have been my help. It doesn't even say because you are my help, although he is my help. The Bible also says you are my help. Because you have been my help in the past. Has God helped you out of some messes or two? Because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. That means in the presence of the Lord. The wings over the Ark of the Covenant represent the presence of the Lord. In the shadow of your presence, your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you, and your right hand upholds me. And here's the thing. You need to know what the Brady effect is. You know what that is? If you're breathing and you're alive, there's more time on the clock. You may have more time on the clock. Right now, you're sitting here, you got time on the clock, and that means you can do something good for God. That means you can share Jesus with somebody.
This will be my last my last part. We had talked before about when you have a king or a president and they have family members, they don't make appointments. Like, if you're the 8-year-old daughter of a president, you're not making an appointment. You just bust into the, you don't care if it's the Oval Office or if you're the son or daughter of a king or a queen. If you're in the family, you don't have to make appointments. And our prayers before God, if the only time we go to God is on official business, there's something wrong. If the only time we're petitioning God is for things, then there's something wrong. Back to a military example, when I went to my first duty assignment, I was kind of intimidating because I was working in a vault in Oklahoma. with a bunch of top secret stuff. And so the very first time that I walked in there, I didn't know anyone. No one knew me. And after I finally got clearance to go in there, the first person I met said, "Who are you and why are you here?" Because that's the thing when you're working a vault. It's like, who are you and why are you here? And that was a master sergeant. I think it was a master sergeant. This is some guy with all these stripes. And so everyone was my boss pretty much because I was the new guy, right? I'm brand new just out of basic training. But my interaction with the people in that office wasn't just official business. I ended up on the softball team, and we played racquetball, and we bought a boat. All these guys in the office, we bought a boat together, which cost me tens of thousands of dollars. Boats are really, anyway, that's a whole other thing. But the point is that our business with God can't just be professional and can't just be, I need something. Living this Christian life is fellowship with God. It's, you think of Jesus just hanging around with the disciples, they're laughing, Jesus pushes Peter in the water, who knows? I'm saying they were men that hung around together. They were more than just kingdom business, they were friends, and that is kingdom business. Being friends and having fellowship. I appreciate that about this church. I appreciate that about our men's group. This isn't just all. It's the Christian life is everything. We can't leave here and switch hats. Wherever you go after this, you're going with God. You go with a mission for God. And here's what I love to realize. It's all around us. Look at the natural world. A magnet. You can't see the magnetic lines of force. It's invisible. But would you say that because you can't see it, it's not there? I have never in my life seen the wind. Neither have you. You can see the trees bending because of the wind, but you can't see the wind. Right now, about half a mile from us is Midway Airport. Can you sense all the radio signals coming off there? No. Do you know there's air traffic control and ground control and clearance delivery and approach delivery? And the most important thing is a few hundred yards in front of White Castle's. Right there at that corner is runway 31, which is the main runway. And 24 hours a day, you cannot see it, but 24 hours a day, there is two electronic signals. One is for horizontal, one is for vertical, and it guides in planes no matter what the weather, whether they can see the runway or not, no matter how cloudy it is, their airplane is receiving that signal to go exactly where they need to go. And I'm telling you that 24 hours a day, the kingdom of God is broadcasting. It is all around us, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. It is possible to live weeks, months, years, or an entire life only out of what you taste and smell and hear and feel, the five senses. Thank God that there is something. I was talking to Gio about this because that's right there. It's the miracle power of God to break every chain, Frida. Break every chain, which turns out to be paper chains anyway when the blood of Jesus gets there. They just fall off. Amen. Love you guys. I'm praying for this church, praying for spiritual breakthrough. Pam, I'm excited. I believe that God, if we will allow it, God can do amazing things in our church and in our life.
I would say I'm more excited now than I have been in a very long time, and that's why tomorrow night we're going to be talking about Haggai. How many of you remember and can remember this house in its previous condition and its glory? And I believe that can happen again. That is happening again. I'm very, very excited that next week we're going to be taking in six new members of our church, Tony and Erica Pacina and their girls, and also Grace Christabel Mahowski and Caleb Mahowski are going to be received as members. If you're interested in membership and you're supporting the church and coming regularly, just see me about membership because we're excited about what God's going to do this year. Let's stand and we're going to pray. Pastor Ken's going to play for a few minutes. We're just going to pray and ask God to help us as we begin our new year because we're still at the beginning and there's so much ahead of us and so many unanticipated things that that will happen. And I'm believing for good things, wonderful things. Don't forget to take a handout. God is good. God is faithful, and that's our heart, that we want to be faithful. It's the least we can do. Father, we come before you, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. And, Lord, we do acknowledge that you have been with us through all of our days, or we wouldn't have even made it into 20 and 23. Father, and we ask, Father God, as we begin to navigate this year, Lord, that you give us wisdom, the wisdom of Solomon. Father God, that you lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit, that you direct our path, and that you order not just direct our path, but order our steps, Father God, that we would never take a misstep. Father God, that we would not misstep, that we would not step off of the path that you have set before us, Father God. Lord, we ask, Father God, any anticipated trouble, we know that you are with us, you are for us. And if you are with us, who can be against us? No man, no weapon formed can be against us. Father God, no weapon will prosper, Father God. Lord, we thank you that we are healed, that the fact that we are here today is a testimony to your healing power. Father God, we ask, Father God, for those who are broken and hurting, Father God, that you would heal their hearts, Father God, that you would calm their emotions, Father God. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus, and we bless your name, Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. We love you all.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.